Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, mediumship and spirituality with a Boston attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by Spirit Messenger Nicole Quinn. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll enjoy the show.
Sorry about that, guys. Totally spaced out and did not realize I was on mute. Anyway, thank you for letting me know in the chat room. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here with me today. I hope that you'll all enjoy the show. And it's going to focus today around the art of letting go. I had been inspired to write a blog this week around that. And, always inspired by personal events, but I don't think that what I'm going through at this point in time is probably much different than what a lot of people are going through. This is kind of a strange time here on Earth where we're transitioning through this strange energy shift, and a lot of people's values are changing. That's one of the things that I've been going through, and I know everyone else out there is feeling it too. There's hurricanes that are moving through up in the Northeast, so if you're listening from up there, I hope everything is okay throughout those storms, and that you're safe and on higher ground. And these kinds of things are just going to continue to happen. The earth is a being. It's not just this thing that's not alive. It's not this dead thing. And just because maybe you don't know how to communicate with a rock and pick it up and it can't blink its eyes and, you know, run around, it doesn't make it less alive than you are. It's alive in a different way. And we're going to need to learn to respect all these things. So with that in mind, I just want to talk about the art of letting go. I'm going to pull up my own blog because I'm going to play off of my entry that I just did. It's So Hard to Say Goodbye is what it was called. If you haven't been on my blog, please join me. It's confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com. And if you get on there and you take a look and you want to comment, there's a little place where it says leave a comment right at the top of where the headline is. So be sure to do that. We all relate to each other through our experiences. We're all here in this together. I'm not here to be a mouthpiece and just talk down to everyone. That's not my MO. And if you listen to any of my shows, you know that that's not what I'm about at all. But if you're a first-time listener and you haven't kind of listened or read any of the blogs or any of that stuff, dig in, because there's a whole lot there. I talk about everything from my own personal experiences with mediumship and suddenly realizing I could speak with the other side, to the lessons that my teachers in spirit are always trying to help me get through, which is really valuable for people that are exploring their own intuition, because sometimes we don't realize that those little whispers are actually spirit's way of helping us navigate through decisions or bring to the surface the things that are important that we're pushing down. We play a lot of tricks on ourselves here because we have this part of us called the ego that is it's part of our physical makeup as we're incarnated here on Earth. So that's not something we have when we're in spirit. Everything seems pretty common sense to us in spirit. It's like, oh, well, this is this and that's that, and what's the big deal? But when we get here, we have to struggle with that because we're not used to it. So the only way for you to understand that you have these two sides is to explore both of them. And that's why I always tell people at the end of my show to walk with one foot in each world, because ultimately what you want to be able to do is rise above this and become the ultimate observer and see your life from that place, because it's hard and it's messy when you're entangled in everything. You know, you can't really tell. So meditation, I talk about a lot of that stuff too on there. So please check it out. So, and you might hear some noise in the background today because I'm using my new, or it's not new anymore, but my blue snowball microphone, which is like a professional recording microphone. And that little microphone on the end of my headset just wasn't picking everything up. It started to cut out. So, anywho, it's really hard for us to give things up. We become very attached to physical things while we're here, because the world is a physical place and we start to react to it in a physical way, and that's normal. That's not anything that anyone has to be worried about, that, oh, no, I'm not normal. And the ego is a part of us that should be embraced and not looked at as the enemy, or I should want to destroy this. So basically we're going to talk about the two huge lessons that are associated with letting go. The first lesson, it's in a lot of other things, is the lesson of fear. People don't like things they can't control, and that's all that fear is. Most of what we fear never happens. It never comes to fruition, because fear is all about worrying and being anxious about what might happen, what the outcome might be, not what it is. We're not even using our intuition in this part of ourselves. We're just using that part of us that says, I can't control this, therefore I'm unable to move forward. And a lot of people live in this place, and it's a very powerful emotion. It's a powerful force, but it's not one that we should fear, ironically. Don't fear fear. Being afraid is normal and natural. Trying to push it away is not. We should be processing this. We should be exploring it. The second gift, well, the second gift you can only experience once you learn to let go of your fear, or at least to accept your fear and to move past it. And that is freedom. There is amazing freedom in letting go. We don't realize how tethered we become to everything. We can become tethered to objects, people, even identities that we've created for ourselves, either through career or, you know, different actions that we perform, that we tell ourselves, this is who I am. That's something I might have to do a whole other show on, but I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this. Now, as most of you may know, I'm getting ready to once again move back across the country. I'm going to be going back to the Boston area, and it's probably going to happen towards the end of September. So if you're a local person in San Antonio and you would like to either get a reading or any of the other services that I offer, I do distance healing, I do healing in person, and I'm also a licensed massage therapist, so I can combine some of those as well. Please make sure that you visit my website and click on where it says schedule a reading with me, because my email address is there, and you've got 30 days to be able to experience something in person with me if you're in San Antonio until I go on my world book tour somewhere in the future, and then I might come back around. But for now, and I would really love to be able to meet some people that are in the local area too, so don't be shy. You know, I want to be able to share what I can while I'm still here. This is not something that, you know, I do because I have to. This is like a deep passion for me that I was born with, and I'm just wired this way. And anything I do that doesn't agree with this whole spiritual helping people aspect of myself turns out to be a complete disaster. That's one way you know you're living your purpose or not, by the way. So packing up, and, you know, there's a lot of things I need to let go of. And it's not easy, but when you really take a look at things, you realize, I don't need half of this stuff that I have. And we attach, it's not even the objects, it's what we attach to the objects in terms of meaning. Like one of the things that I talk about in the blog is I have a really hard time figuring out how to make peace with things that someone purchased for me as a gift. And we all know we've gotten really bad gifts, okay? There are things that you have no idea why someone got you. You know, you could be like a 30-year-old woman, and for some reason somebody gave you a stuffed animal of like a lamb or something. And, you know, it's sweet. The sentiment behind it is palpable, but now it's sitting somewhere collecting dust, getting dirty, and it's really not even something that you think about. So why not give that to someone, maybe give it to a charity or a school that's collecting items, and let some little kid that maybe would really appreciate it, that would light up their eyes, experience that. So I had to kind of take a step back. And there's a lot of stuff that I've had as gifts. I mean, people have been very generous to me in my time. So what I did was I asked my guides, yay, the part of the show where I actually talk to people. Yeah, so I sit down with myself, I open up, and for me this is an easier process that I've gone through at least 2-3 years of working on it to get here, where I can have this experience faster. So if some of you are still struggling, Don't think that this is just right out of the gate normal for most people. But I'll basically ask, what can I do so that I can let go of these things and not feel like I'm throwing away the person who gave them to me? And they gave me a very simple, and it always is simple. It's amazing to me how the easiest things we complicate. A simple, almost prayer. And they told me just to walk over, and I had a bunch of stuff in a box already ready for Goodwill. And I looked at some of, I had stuffed animals in there looking up at me with their little beaded eyes. And I was like, oh, no. So they're telling you to just hold your hands over them and just say this prayer. And the prayer is, I take with me all of the love and the spirit with which this item was given to me, but I now let go of the physical item. And I guarantee you, if you do this, it will help. I felt a lifting immediately because somewhere in my head, those items weren't what they were. They weren't a stuffed animal. They were love that I was throwing away, that I was putting in the garbage, or even if giving it to somebody else. It's like, well, that was given to you. Why are you giving it to someone else? You guys, you can't contain love in an object. It can remind you of it. It can be an association for love, but it's not love. Okay, so if you're finding yourself in a place where you're being bombarded by things and stuff is literally piling up all around you, you may want to take a look at what it is about these things that makes you want to keep them. And I also talk about, well, I kind of had to edit it because it got a little lengthy, but I can remember a time in my life when I wouldn't throw away clothes that didn't fit me. They didn't fit me, but they were like top quality or like really cool brands that everyone liked at the time. Like when I was younger, people all thought Guess was the bomb. So everyone had Guess jeans, and I would not throw them away because what was associated with that item was the status that I felt or just belonging, something about belonging. And I looked at those jeans and I felt those feelings. So that is something that I would like everyone to think about. This show is kind of really important, especially around now where so many people are having issues with letting go of things. Letting go of people, another thing. And I've talked on the show before about relationships and how relationships, they're not, most of them that we have in our lives, if we're not awake, we're not even conscious of what we're doing in them. You know, why am I in this relationship? And we're not conscious of the control we have over our choices. So you don't really have control over every situation. And even by the law of attraction, there's a lot of other people out there willing similar or different things than you at the same time. So all of these competing energies are out there. The only thing you truly have control over is what you think, how you proceed with making a decision about something. So I would put your, I would take that energy that you're giving to worry and anxiety and put it towards your choices. And this is something that can help you. So if you'd like to see that prayer, please go to confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com and take a look at that. There's a blog prior to this one that's all about money, which is another hot button right now for everyone. So I'd like you to take a look at that as well. It won't stress you out, I promise. Physical items that belong to someone who's passed away, I kind of want to address that as well because that's a really big one. Someone passes away and let's say, you know, they maybe lived in the same place for a long time, accumulated a lot of things. Maybe some of the things are still usable and some of them are not. But just it's almost like you feel that, once again, you're throwing that person away. Or there's some value associated with the item that just won't allow you to take it and pass it on to someone else. No one in a reading that I've ever done has ever come through and said, you know, I'm really mad because little Aunt Josie took away so-and-so's, you know, item that I meant for her. That's never happened. There may have been items where someone intended for them to go to someone else, but the messages that I always get have to do with, I'm not in that item. That's not something that you need to be with me. I'm with you. So I want people to remember that too. And they've never come through and said, you know, I'm not going to talk today to my loved one because they gave my chair to a charity. And that was like a great chair. They're not attached to their physical things anymore because they don't have their physical form. It's a little easier for them to figure out, hey, those things didn't mean that much. So that's just, you know, a little item that you hold on to is okay. It's not, you know, get rid of everything. It's not like that. As long as you realize that the love that the person gave is just as alive within your physical form as it is within the item that you're holding in your hand that you think you can't let go of. You're physical too, and that love has been passed on to you. Their energy and their energy mingled together when they were here, and the energy doesn't go away. And that's why I tell people it's really important if you want to talk to people that are on the other side, the most effective way that you can do that is by opening up your heart chakra, because feelings broadcast like 10 times louder than thoughts. Yes, they can hear your thoughts, but the feelings are so much more effective, at least in my experience. So if you can kind of take a moment to yourself, and if you want to contact, let's say, your grandmother or something, you can sit there for a minute and just be quiet and just in your mind pull up memories of what it felt like to be together, the feelings that they gave you, just the way that they treated you and that sort of a thing. Like, oh, this person was always really good to me. Whenever I saw her, she always smiled. And I knew everything was going to be okay. That's what they're going to hear. That is going to draw them closer to you. They're always there. Everything exists all the time. It's only whether or not we turn our attention toward it. So that is a very effective way of focusing intent and focusing your energy so that you can bring about a more of a close relationship, because you do still have a relationship even though they're not physically here. Excuse me. There is still a physical connection on an energetic level. So if you're feeling like there is someone that you want to contact, that's a really good way to do it. You can hold an item. And, I mean, there is something called psychometry where energy that is imparted to an item from a person can be picked up by a person who has psychic senses. But the item itself has no power. It's merely a way for someone who isn't connected, like a person like myself, would take an item from you, maybe a ring that belonged to a relative you want to contact. That's how I can connect with your energy. You don't need that. You're already connected to them by virtue of the fact that you lived with them, you had a life with them, or you knew them when they were here. So that energy is in you. It really is. One of the things that is hard for me to explain to people when I do a reading is it's not just about me connecting with the other side. I need to connect with you too. It's a three-way communication process because there's energy there that I need to tap into, and it actually helps to make the connection stronger. So I'm not trying to connect to them, really. I'm only trying to connect you to them. So the person who comes for a reading is very important in that process too. But just know that the things that people leave behind are not the person. You don't need them. And it's okay to have pictures and a few little things. But if you're literally being, like I said, bombarded and surrounded by items that you just can't get rid of because you feel like you're throwing away the person, try to do that little exercise, and it will definitely help you. Before I forget, I just want to ask everyone, please go to Facebook and look up Confessions of a Spirit Messenger and click like. I've been lagging with promoting that page, and even though there's a lot of good posts on there, it's not out there quite enough. So can you please check that out for me and maybe forward it to some of your friends and get the party started, get more people involved. One of the other things that I want to mention too about my guides, I don't necessarily always know which one is talking. I don't necessarily have to. Once you have that connection, you don't need it. It's okay, so the way that I'll explain it, talking with a guide is like the difference between looking at someone and talking to them. That would be like in the physical way where they're looking at you and all of that incoming physical information is there. Or just actually reading a piece of paper with a note that someone has written to you. It's a less intense connection. You get the actual message. You don't necessarily get all the facial expressions. There's a lot of, missing physical information, but the message is still there, and you don't need to know if so-and-so was wearing a blue shirt when she said this, you know. It's more of a subtle connection, so I guess that's what I would equate it to, the difference between actually talking to someone or reading a handwritten letter from them. It's not quite the same, but the connection is still there, and you still get the message, and, you know, it's a little bit hard to understand when you're in the beginning stages of learning how to do this and what it's supposed to feel like. I would say just don't try to give yourself any expectations. Just allow it to happen. And then after it happens, just like you don't know how, say, a concert's going to go or a class is going to go, you can maybe have an idea. But you sit in the class, you get the information, and then later you say, oh, this is how it was. That's the way you should treat spirit communication, because it's really unpredictable. Almost impossible to predict what's going to happen. I've had a lot of people that have come to me and spoken, had people that came through from a completely different side of the family. They thought they were going to, or a different generation, or they just don't even know. You don't know what they have on their agenda, and they do know better than you what you need. So you think, well, so-and-so was grouchy when they were here. Why would they want to talk to me now? They're doing stuff over there too. You know, maybe they're in the process of still reviewing their life and trying to forgive themselves for what they did or how they treated people. Don't discount that, because that's some kind of closure for them as well. You got to understand, this isn't all for us. There is a connection that's made both ways. So sometimes it's about how you can help the spirits heal on the other side. So remember that too. And there's not that many people in the chat room today, but I know people can listen without having to be in there. So if you would like to participate in it, though, you do have to have an account on Blog Talk Radio. It's as easy as setting up an email account, so don't sweat it. It's not that hard, and you'll be able to interact with other people, other listeners, and throw out a question to me if you need to. So let me see if I have anything else in my blog I needed to talk about. Most of it did have to do with the objects. One of the other things, though, that the guides kind of pop up with, and they say, hey, don't forget to mention this, like when I'm not ready to hear it usually. There's a lot of people that are out there right now going through some pain. And this show is kind of like a massive group reading for me. It's like I ask the guides, I don't need to do one-on-one. I can get through to a lot more people if I give a more general message about, like, an actual lesson. It's not specific to your situation, but it is about your situation. So if you're going through this period where you feel like you're in intense pain, this could be physical pain, this could be emotional pain, or financial pain, or any combination of those three. Pain is not without its purpose. I know that sounds probably terrible, but it does have a purpose. And no, it is not from the devil. I don't believe in the devil. Yes, I believe in opposing forces that rule and govern the universe, but I don't think that God and the devil are like these two separate entity-type football players that get on a field and start battling it out. I just don't believe in that. Everything is for a reason. Everything's for a purpose. There is a divine plan and a divine energy that infuses everything. Pain is a great communicator. It's a great teacher. In your body, pain tells you something is wrong. And for many people, because the fear creeps in, they don't get it checked out. And then it becomes more pain. See, pain doesn't give up on you. Pain tells you, please listen to me. There is a problem. You may be afraid, but I need your attention. So pain does have a purpose. The greater purpose, it's layered. You know, it's sometimes with finances, it has to do with the fact that you're not doing what you're going against your value system. You know, maybe you're participating in some kind of organization that does harm to people, but by virtue of the fact that you need to have work and you need to be paid, you participate in it. Somewhere your body is going to tell you you're doing the wrong thing. I can't tell you that if you change careers or if you do something like that, that financially you'll do better. You have to check it out for yourself. That's part of the grand scheme. Faith is based on the fact that you don't know the outcome. So don't ask questions about whether or not it's the right thing when you come to see me, because it's the right thing for you. I'm not going to be able to tell you that. You're going to feel it within yourself. But the pain is there for a reason. So physical, emotional, financial, whatever kind of pain you can think, there's a purpose behind it. And I was having some issues myself. You know, I'm going back to Boston within work. I don't have a job. I don't know what's going to happen. I stressed about it. I grinded my teeth about it. You know, I freaked out a little bit. I mean, it's an initial reaction. I'm not immune to that. The trick is to allow yourself to let those wheels spin and let that fear come out. And the pain that you're feeling is a message to you that something needs to change. And once I stopped and I let go, suddenly I would find a random job ad that seemed to fit me like perfectly. Whereas before, it was all things I couldn't do, I didn't have education for, things you needed specific licenses for. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I just can't do anything. As soon as I let go of that and I said, I trust, it actually started to just come together. But you have to participate in the process. It's not the same as lazily sitting around on the couch and thinking someone else will take care of it. It's that process you go through where you feel the fear and then you engage spirit and say, I trust, please take care of me. And you let it go. It's not the same thing. Letting go is something that is completely different from ignoring something or not bothering with something. There's an engaging process there. And stuff has started to move, and suddenly it was easier for me to pack, and everything cleared up once I decided that it was okay to do that. But the greater thing with fear, the greater experience of pain and fear are to unite us, because we're all separate here. You know, we come in these separate little packages we call bodies. You know, we have separate identities, and really all spiritual people all throughout the years have told us we're one. But it's so hard to look around and say, oh, yeah, we're one, because this is the experience of separateness. Know that you're not so stupid to figure it out. We come here to experience the separateness. You have to experience that first before you can move towards the union. And so what happens is we unite through our pain. You can go to any country in the world. You can look at anyone of any race, religion, look into their eyes and see that they've experienced pain at some place, at some point in their life. And know that you can relate to that person through that. Not that it's something to commiserate over, but just there is a bond with the human experience that is unparalleled when it comes to the things that we go through here. So if you're a closed person, I invite you to please open up to someone and experience that feeling of communion with another person, because no matter who they are, they've gone through something similar. Men, it's a little bit more difficult. We don't tend to want to open up and stuff like that. But there are a lot of men that are changing now, and I applaud them for that. It's very hard culturally, especially in America. But you really should entertain the fact that if you open up, that you're going to be okay and that someone else is going to reach out back to you. Your hand's not going to be left hanging there. And sometimes it's not the person you decide is going to be the person to respond back. Maybe it will happen in another way. But if you do open up, you'll have something, someone, somewhere that will reach back to you. So I just want to bring that up today. And if anyone would like a reading assignment, I'm giving a reading assignment today. They want me to, my guides want me to tell you all to go out and read The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. It's a book about a man who evolved past, you know, material goods and all that stuff, generally speaking. But check it out, please. And if you have any questions about anything you've read here, please visit my blog, Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. Leave a comment, email me, schedule a reading with me. I'll be in San Antonio for 30 more days about, so try to catch me when I'm here. That's pretty much it for today. Hopefully everyone will get a little bit of a message out of those messages I gave you today. And as always, I invite you to walk in both worlds, one foot in each world. Namaste, take care of one another, and I will see you all next week.